You're listening to The John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor.
Good morning, good evening, whenever, wherever you may be listening. I'm John Vogel. Welcome to The John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor, the best way to start your podcast. June 29th, rebranded. We're taking this underway. I could not have planned this any more perfectly. Because last night, in fact, I had some of the biggest NFL news come through to talk about on this show than there has been probably in the entire month. There was more that got dropped last night by Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport than really football news has been at all this month. And that's insane. So, we're going to get this going underway because there's a lot to digest here. First off, if you're listening to the show, you're still listening. Thank you for your listening and taking the time to do that this morning. It's been a little bit crazy here the last couple of weeks, but have a little bit of freedom, should be able to settle into things a little bit and kind of get back on the roll. Anyways, Cam Newton, the former NFL MVP, Carolina Panthers quarterback, has signed with the New England Patriots. Boom. Minimum deal is what he signed on. Very incentive loaded. So the Patriots are hoping that he's going to compete for the starting job. I don't see why he doesn't. Cam, obviously, has been putting in the work this offseason. He's been making sure everybody knows it too. And is probably in great shape, ready to play, healthy, after sitting pretty much the entirety last season. There's a lot of good stuff here to start with. All right. So I think the first thing to talk about is, why did the Patriots make this move now? And I ran a report on johnvogelfootball.com, basically talked about how the NFL compensatory picks rules allows for the Panthers right now to select, not for the Panthers, the Patriots to sign him right now without hurting their evaluation for compensatory picks. So compensatory system, it's very complicated, but I'm going to basically break it down for you so that you can understand what exactly it is if you don't already know. It's basically an evaluation in which the NFL decides that because of the amount of talent that was lost to free agency, you get extra bonus picks, essentially. So big name free agents that leave and go to other teams, that would be a positive gain. And for the team that lost that free agent, that's a negative. And so they run through this system where, you can get up to 4 picks to make up for lost free agent talents. And the Patriots use the hell out of the system. And I mean, they use it. All right. So every year, the evaluation time for that period, it starts at the beginning of free agency and it ends on June 1st. The thinking is, before you really get in any OTAs or anything, so if somebody gets hurt after that during OTAs or training camp or whatever, or preseason or whatever, you have to replace them. It shouldn't count toward your compensatory pick choices. All right, so a lot of teams, when there's a free agent that lasts as long, like Cam did or Jadeveon Clowney has so far, they wait until after that set date to sign them because it's not going to hurt their compensatory pick evaluation. So Cam is one of those guys that was obviously a big name free agent and fell through the cracks. The thing here is that quarterbacks are such an investment. It's very difficult for a team to want to put a good bit of money down on a single year for a player, regardless of the position. And because the quarterback position is so highly valued right now, it's hard, for them to justify signing Cam Newton to a one-year deal if it's not worth it for them. And so in this case, it is a very good deal for the Patriots. It's the top total value on it is $7.5 million. The other reason that they did it, And this is where things really start to get interesting, and this is where it really got fun last night, is the Patriots just got penalized by the NFL for filming the Bengals during the Bengals-Brown games. They filmed the hand signals that were being used to communicate from the sideline, and were using it as they were trying to figure out what their hand signals were, which is cheating, essentially. So they were fined $1.1 million last night. They lost their 2021 third-round pick, as well as the Patriots film crew are not allowed to film any more games the entire 2020 season. So they do go film games. They film practices. They film all kinds of stuff. And that's the thing, is they are not allowed to do so. That's what's interesting here. All right. So now that we have that all out of the way, the Patriots signed Cam Newton. They needed a quarterback, really a veteran guy in that locker room. Now they had Brian Hoyer. But Brian Hoyer, you know, he's been a journeyman, and he's seen some form of success with the Cleveland Browns. You know, he's not a bad quarterback by any means, but he's not also someone that you would want to play for an entire season. That makes sense up to this point. He's very limited in a lot of the skill and the skill sets that we want to see. All right, so you've got Brian Hoyer. You've got the second-year player out of Auburn, Jared Stidham, that you drafted in the sixth round last year. Stidham played a little bit last year and was not very impressive. Like, there were things that he did that were good, but then there were things that he did that were very, very bad. And Quarterback School on YouTube did a really good job breaking down his limited game tape and explaining it, you know, so that, you know, you can go check that out. I would very much highly recommend that you do that. Now, Cam, there's also, I think there's two other quarterbacks in that room, if I remember correctly. There's Brian Lewerke, who's a rookie out of Michigan State. A lot of people really liked a couple years ago, and he just never progressed. You know, so it appears that he's hit his plateau, his ceiling. And Jamar Smith, who's another rookie out of a smaller school, if I remember correctly. He's probably... neither one of those guys will probably make the team now that Cam is there. And if they do, one of them might stick around on the practice squad. Cam, Stidham, and Hoyer makes it an interesting quarterback room. Because if, let's say Newton wins the job. Let's say Cam gets the job. And he gets hurt during the season. That means that the Patriots are going to have to completely adjust their offense to the next upcoming quarterback. Which is a really interesting thought, because, I mean, it's not to say that that's a bad thing. So don't take it as I'm saying that that's bad. Because Bill Belichick has shown he can do whatever the hell he wants with his offense. It doesn't matter. Okay? So it's just going to be interesting to see what happens if we get training camp, what happens if we get any preseason, so on and so forth, what's going to go down with all that. So... another interesting thing to point out, and this is where this show is going to slightly go political, and it shouldn't be political, but people in today have to politicize everything in America, because everything can be used as a political ploy. And so Richard Sherman took to Twitter last night or this morning, very early this morning, I forget which, and asked the question if a NFL MVP had ever taken a minimum deal. And then went on to say, there are way less talented quarterbacks than Cam making $15, $16 million a year. This is disgusting. I have some news for you, Mr. Sherman. Go... look in 2004. There was a two-time NFL MVP Super Bowl MVP who took a very low deal with the New York Giants to be the backup quarterback to the rookie Eli Manning. And believe it or not, he's whiter than me. All right. Kurt Warner took a very, very small deal with the New York Giants after he went through some injuries. You know, it was nothing against Kurt. It was strictly he had been hurt and they wanted to know if he could stay healthy. And that's the thing is this is exactly what it is with Cam. Cam has been hurt. People want to know if he can stay healthy at this point of his career. You know, so this isn't a race thing. This is not anything about blacks being underpaid or being exploited by the NFL. This is strictly business. And it's happened before with someone who with far more accolades and seen far more success in the league than Cam Newton. Break and let the sponsors get a chance to get a word in. When we come back, we've got some good stuff to talk about. Sophomore quarterbacks in the NFL, I think, is a very good topic. Next on the John Vogel Show. Welcome back to the John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor, the best way to start your podcast. This is a really interesting topic that I kind of got thinking about yesterday when I think it was yesterday. I started thinking about the different, the last few years, how sophomore quarterbacks in the league have been so good, certain ones at least. And I think that if you look at history, as in very recent history, it's kind of a key to the MVP race. So if you go back to, I did a piece on this, a study piece. In 2017, if you go back, you'll see that Carson Wentz was a sophomore quarterback in the league, second-year quarterback, with the Eagles, who made a very, very, very deep run at the MVP award. It was pretty much a foregone conclusion he was going to get it. And then he tore his ACL with 3 games to go. Missed the rest of the season. Tom Brady ended up receiving the award instead. Now, the next 2 years, Patrick Mahomes, sophomore quarterback, 2018, wins MVP. Lamar Jackson, sophomore quarterback, wins the MVP. If you look at these three guys, they all have elite type traits of some kind. So, Wentz, like it or not, really has a top 10, top 5 arm in the league. Patrick Mahomes has the top arm in the league and is able to make plays, just like Carson. Carson can make plays as well. Lamar Jackson has elite athleticism, will kill you with his legs, ran for 1,200 yards last year, but also effective passing the football, threw for 36 touchdowns. All right, so the thing here that all three of these guys have in common is that they all have elite-type traits, all right? And they're able to dominate the field in some aspect, in some way. And so that got me thinking about this upcoming season. Who is going to be in the MVP race? Who's going to be running for it? And if you look over those last, you know, like Matt Ryan won it the year before Tom Brady did. Cam Newton won it the year before that. These four of these five guys were all guys that nobody expected to be competing for the MVP race at the beginning of the year, or very few people did. So that's why this is really, really an interesting topic to think about, because we have five sophomore quarterbacks right now in the NFL that are looking at being starters this year, that are projected as starters for their teams. You've got the number one overall pick from last year, Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray has a very good arm, elite athleticism, right up there, probably a little, just a bit shy of Lamar Jackson because he's smaller and quicker. Fantastic. Like, he's got, they were just improved his receiving corps. And he has sustainability at the head coach position with Cliff Kingsbury coming back the second year. So this is a really interesting, and I said this on Parler. I said, if you want to make a really good informed bet, early season, or, you know, preseason bet on the NFL MVP, take the plus 2,500 odds with Kyler Murray. Because Kyler's got a real chance, I do believe. I think he's got a really good chance to make a run at the MVP this year. Now, I pointed this out. The majority of quarterbacks that took a leap from their rookie to sophomore year saw an improvement in their run game of some kind. You'll see the chart that was compiled in the article on johnvogelfootball.com. Most of the time, if the running game improved, there was a significant improvement in the quarterback. You know, no, obviously there's going to be things that it didn't, you know. And then I think in all three cases, when the running game didn't improve, when it dropped, all three quarterbacks improved their passer rating from the year before, but it wasn't as significant as the others. Outside of Blake Bortles. I think Blake Bortles' 2015 season was just an anomaly. There's no way to explain how that went down in a logical manner at all. They were 5-11, but, you know, individually he had a great season. But the point is, the only thing that I think could potentially hold Kyler Murray back is I'm not completely sold on that run game just being fixed yet. They got Kenyon Drake from Miami last year, felt really good about it. And I think they've got Chase Edmonds. And so you look at that and you go, I guess that's all right. There was an improvement when Drake did take the field. They don't have David Johnson anymore either. They got DeAndre Hopkins for him. And that's another thing, too, is that they're so deep at wide receiver. They'll be able to play D-hop. They'll be able to get all kinds of guys involved. Larry Fitzgerald's come back for another year. He is getting older, but, you know, you're going to be able to put him in at the two, receiver two, and you'll probably be able to work him out of the slot a little bit, too. I think he's going to be good enough to still do that. You know, so the Cardinals have a lot of options around their offense with what they can do with receivers. They got depth. Kyler Murray could have a really phenomenal season. He already had a phenomenal individual season last year, threw for 4,000 yards. You know, he could go through the roof next year if everything plays out the right way. Interestingly enough, there are several quarterbacks, I think there were four, in the study that went through a head coaching change from year one to year two. And New York Giants quarterback Daniel Jones is going through that. The first two that did it in the study were both saw significant improvement. Jared Goff, and I'm trying to remember who the other one was off the top of my head. I know Jared Goff and Mitch Trubisky, right. So both of these guys saw significant improvement with the change of the head coach. This is really interesting because the next two saw a change, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, and they did not see that level of improvement. Baker dropped through the floor. Darnold saw minimal improvement. All right, so Darnold's run game also went like through the floor as well. It was weird. So you have to ask yourself, Baker Mayfield had the worst, and I mean the worst, head coach in the NFL last year. I thought it was going to be a good hire. I thought it was risky, but I thought it was going to be a good hire. I thought, obviously, Freddie Kitchens wasn't ready. So that was, when you, in hindsight, looking at last year, that was the worst head coach last year in the NFL. And we don't know anything really about Joe Judge. Yeah, he's one of Belichick's guys. Doesn't mean anything. Belichick says he's ready. That kind of means something. But is Belichick playing the league? We don't know anything about Joe Judge. And that's scary for a guy like Daniel Jones coming in, who he's got one of the best running backs in the league. One of the best home run hitting running backs in Saquon Barkley. Barkley is capable of taking the ball to the end zone any play. You just added Deion Lewis from the Titans, the former Patriot and Titan football player, running back, really good. You feel like you've got your receiver core in place with Golden Tate, Evan Engram at tight end, Sterling Shepard. All right, so you feel like you've got all these, and now you've even built the offensive line. You spent so much draft capital on the offensive line, they should be solid for a while. You feel like you've got it all in place now. What do? If Joe Judge isn't the right guy, this is going to be a disaster. And everything's going to blow up. Daniel Jones, his career, probably done. Quarterbacks do not get that long anymore. Look at Josh Rosen, if you don't believe me. That is scary for somebody like Daniel Jones. Okay, Dwayne Haskins, on the other hand, Ron Rivera is his new head coach, going through the head coaching change. That's an upgrade from Jay Gruden, at least on paper. You know, they've got a deep running back room. They've got, because Adrian Peterson, Darius Geis. So they've got what they feel is a good receiver group. They did pretty well last year. Dwayne Haskins started to kind of show it at the end of the year. And he's been working out. He's got very good arm strength. Probably right up there around the same as Wentz. Okay, so Haskins can take steps this year. I think he's going to see a good improvement. I think the run game, I think Ron Rivera was a good hire over Jay Gruden, because obviously Gruden got fired because he didn't care. He wanted out. And it's hard for an interim guy to come in there and keep things rolling, especially when the ship is already sinking. And so Ron Rivera is taking his time with this. He's got all kinds of time. He's been doing it well. He's a good coach. I would fully expect him to be on top of it. I would think Haskins is going to take a leap. Okay, so now you've got Drew Locke, second round pick, Denver Broncos, took over once he was healthy enough to get back on the field, became almost a cult hero icon type guy. Bronco fans love this guy. And he did have a good year last year. He showed a lot of really good traits. They've completely rebuilt his receiving core. They added Melvin Gordon to Philip Lindsay, which is kind of insane to think about from an offensive strategy standpoint. You've got a guy who can run with power, but it's still speed, and you've got a guy who is strictly pretty much speed. So this is going to be really interesting to see how Denver plays that out. Plus, with a completely revamped receiving core, and you've got a bunch of tight ends. This team is stacked. And it's really all hinges on Drew Locke taking that next step this year. And I think he will probably do so. The last guy, I'm not too sure about. And I know some Jaguar fans, I know you guys are probably going to get mad at me when I say this, but Gardner Minshew is an unknown this year. Yes, he was the ultimate cult icon last year. Minshew mania, right? People loved him last year. He came in game one when Nick Foles went down with the injury, played pretty well for the most part, had a couple bad games. I mean, that happens to everybody. But here's the thing when I watch Minshew. He is an extraordinary playmaker. with a limited arm and to an extent, not compared to the rest of the quarterbacks and the direction that the league has gone, limited mobility. All right. Looking at the past where quarterbacks have come in early on like him, and he was a sixth round pick last year. He shouldn't have done as well as he did. So do not take this as I'm saying he's bad. I'm just saying that the ceiling for him is very limited because of his limited skill set. They didn't really do anything to improve the run game, I don't think. I think that the receiving core is, it's probably the worst supporting cast out of these five guys in this group. All right. And he has the worst skill set out of them all. And that's not a slight at him. It's just saying that when I see him play, he looks more like a career backup. You know, somebody who can drift around the league for 10 years, play for 3-4 different teams as a backup. And that's what Minshew's skill set looks like. So I think the Jaguars, because they traded Nick Foles, because you had to unload that cap. You couldn't just let that cap money that he was taking sit there while you played Minshew. I don't think the Jaguars are very comfortable with him at all. I really, truly feel that they are getting cold feet. And I had insiders telling me that the Jaguars had reached out informally to Colin Kaepernick about trying to sign him this year to a deal bigger than what Cam was offered and took yesterday. I don't think Kaepernick would take it, but I think the Jaguars are starting to get cold feet on the situation, and they're trying to take in their options and, you know, realize where that they really are in the, should be in the quarterback market right now. But anyways, that should about do it for the show today. Thank you all for tuning in. It is Monday. Tomorrow is Tuesday. We should have a couple guests swinging through over the week. Let you know more about that as soon as I know. And you all take it easy. Keep it safe. God love you.